morning to you all. We welcome you on Mother's Day to Grace Bible Church. We're glad that you are here. And we're going to be honoring our mothers today with the Word of God, and then also at the very end of our service today, recognizing them. In our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, where Solomon speaks to his son, and he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, "And forsake not the law of thy mother." The Hebrew word law there could easily be translated teaching. The instruction of a mother is not to be forsaken. You know, whenever we forsake something, we just simply put it out of our minds. Put it out of our minds. We're not connected with it on a regular basis. I find this all the time. You know, 1 year can go by, and I'll be on my desk and I'll find something. Oh my goodness, I've been looking for that since last year. It's not been in my mind. It's been sitting there the whole time in my rubble pile in my office. And that's what happens. That is exactly what happens. Whenever things are out of sight, they're out of mind. A mother's teaching is to never go out of sight, therefore never go out of mind. What's happened to our country? It is sickening to me to realize what our country has become. Because now we're almost in a fifth generation of people that have left the Word of God. We no longer have the Word of God in our minds. Mothers are not teaching solid moral instruction to their children. If they are, it's not being passed down to the generations that follow them. There has been a major breakdown, a forsaking of a mother's law in America. Now, what does that mean going forward? It means that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will not have the moral foundation upon which to build a life, and therefore we'll lose it. We'll lose it. I posted a meme yesterday. There's three countries that allow selective abortion. China, North Korea, and the United States. Only three out of all the nations of the world. Now, what has that left us? It's left us people ranting and screaming in Washington, D.C., saying, "My body, my life." No recognition of a little child within. No recognition of that child's life, that child's body. Oh, it's just about me. And by the way, it's a wonderful thing. The liberals now have discovered women again. After this past 2 or 3 years of nothing but questioning, we discovered women again. That's an amazing thing. It's just a pendulum. And we're in the pendulum motion, folks, because we've forsaken the instruction of a godly father and the instruction and teaching of a godly mother. You should thank God every minute of the day if you've had that benefit. But don't just thank God for it. Pass it on. Pass it on to your children. Pass it on to your grandchildren so they may benefit from the blessing of instruction from God's Word.
Take our hymn books this morning and turn to 393. We'll sing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Let's stand together to sing number 393.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Lord, every spirit, blessing is blood. This is my soul. This is my story, this is my song.
comes to lead us.
Father, what a wonderful and challenging message that we have just sung, praising my Savior all the day long. And Lord, all we have to do is look around and know that there are multitudes of reasons that we might praise Thee all the day long. And we are so thankful, Father, that we can pause on our daily lives to be here in this assemblage, to do that again, to praise our Savior. How wonderful it is to be in the arms of Christ, knowing that He has gone before us to prepare a place for us. Lord, I long to be in that place because it will be in the arms of Christ. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the promises of Scripture, promises that will always be met, promises that will be ours because You have spoken it. Father, we thank You so much for our service this morning. We thank You for our pastors as they plan and study to give a message from Thy holy word. And we pray for each and every one that speaks from this pulpit. And we pray for the one that speaks today, that our hearts might be warmed with the word of God. Do bless each one in this assemblage. Help each one to have ears to hear today on this Mother's Day when we pause to remember our mothers. My mother passed over 20 years ago. I remember dearly how she was one to want me to know God and want me to serve God. And we thank You, Father, for the mothers that we have before us today, and do bless them and help them to be godly. Help them to be the kind of testimony before their children that their children might want to know God. So do bless them and bless this service. And Father, bless this ministry. We are so thankful for the history of this ministry going on many, many years. And we thank You, Father, for the ministries that You've given to us. Lately, the school has just been thriving. And we thank You for the 470 that are registered, and few vacancies are there. And we pray that they might be filled and that You might give us the wherewithal to fill them. And do bless all the ministries of this work. We think about the Children's Bible Club that sends out books and works that children's ministries can use. And do bless those that minister in that ministry, and also the projector, Father, as it goes out. It's gone out last week or so with a very, very important article that many ought to read. And I pray, Father, for the YAC program. How wonderful that is to the community when young people can come up and be apart from the world and have a place where there's testimonies of Christ on every corner. And do bless those that run that program and help that program to be a godly program where the Lord Jesus Christ is honored to each and every one that comes. We do thank You, Father, for Grace Bible Church. We thank You, Father, for this church that has been in existence for many, many years and continues to be faithful. And do bless it and help it to grow. We thank You, Father, for that. And do bless again this service. Help us to be attentive. Help us to have the Word of God rest in our hearts because we've been here today. We thank You for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Let's turn now to number 22. Number 22. How great Thou art, number 22. I want to sing verses 1, 3, and 4, hymn number 22.
Oh, Lord, my God.
Turn to 344. 344, Grace, 'tis a charming sound. We'll stand together to sing 344. Come thou fount of every blessing. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 2. And in verse number 2, many times, sometimes we sing things without knowing what we're singing. But it says, here I raise mine Ebenezer. That's from 1 Samuel chapter 7 after a battle with the Philistines. When Samuel raised this memorial that the Lord was victorious. And Ebenezer there in the Hebrew means stone of help. So we're raising a reminder that the Lord has helped us. Let's think about that as we sing this verses 1 and 2, number 3.
Sing thy praise, drink of mercy, never cease, all those songs of love is praise. Teach me some man.
just give a word of testimony before we sung the song this morning. As most of you know, there are no distinctly Mother's Day songs, so you can't sing "This Is My Mother's World" or "My Mother Planned It All" like you would on Father's Day. But we just picked a good song about our Lord. And as we were practicing it, I just began thinking about it, began thinking about the words, and began thinking about my mom and all the influence that she had in my life and me coming to know the Lord. You know, it was my dad who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But to a large degree, it was my mom who executed that. She was with us on a daily basis and disciplined us and taught us, made us memorize scripture, and had Bible classes with us every single day growing up. And really, it was her who had this huge influence in our lives. And so as we sing this song, "Oh, How I Love the Savior's Name," I was thinking about the words, and the word "name" there doesn't just mean the phonetic sound that you get when you combine J-E-S-U-S. The name of our Lord is talking about his character, his reputation, all of his attributes. And it was my mom who taught me those. And I can't think of any way I'd rather honor her this morning, and I really probably can't think of any other way she'd rather be honored than for me just to sing praises to my Lord about how much I love his name.
God's people said, amen. Appreciate that beautiful number by the Hafners. And that's not the name of their musical group, the Hafners, but they all have the same last name. We appreciate that beautiful number. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. The title of my message today is "Mothers Helping Your Children God's Way." Helping your children God's way. I want to begin reading in verse 24. We're reading through verse 30. As we look at this mother who desperately wanted her daughter, her child, young child, healed, and what she did to get that done. Let's begin reading in verse 24. "And from thence he arose, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. We might take in this moment the truth of thy word and that we might meditate upon it and that we might let it saturate into our thinking. So many times whenever our children are in a dark place or in a difficult way or even in this situation under the dominance of Satan, we go every which way but to the right source of help. I pray that you would help us to learn from this passage, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not have to tell you that children are precious to their mothers and to their fathers. Mothers love their children more than words can describe. When Israel believed that God had forsaken them, the Lord used the analogy of a mother who could not forget or cease to have compassion upon her children. We read of this in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 and 15. Listen as I read. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. He uses the illustration of a mother and says, can a mother forget about her children? Well, there are instances in this world where that has happened. But God says, it never happens with me. It never happens. I never forget. There's an important truth here. When our children experience hardship or sickness, our hearts agonize. We would rather suffer ourselves than watch them hurt. Compassion is one of the characteristics of a mother. So, Mom, how do we help our children in difficulty God's way? That's what I'm going to focus on today. How do we help our children when they get into a difficult way? And the Lord here records, not only here, but also in the book of Matthew and chapter 15, this interaction between a Syrophoenician woman. This is interesting to me. There are three of them in the Bible, by the way. Two are in the Old Testament. Did you know that Jezebel was a Syrophoenician woman? She was from Zidon. Tyre and Zidon was in the center of the Phoenician Empire at that time, the Syrophoenician Empire. Then there's a mother. In the next chapter, 1 Kings 16 tells us about Jezebel when she appears on the pages of history. And then in the next chapter, there's another woman who Elijah comes to visit, and she is from Sidon. All right, she's a Syrophoenician woman, and she has nothing to feed him. She just has her last cup of oil and last meal, and she said, that's all we have to do. And a miracle is performed. Both of these women in the Old Testament are Gentiles. We come here to the Gospels, and we see another Gentile woman. The Lord has gone into the north in this particular aspect of His mission. And there He's ministering to Jews that are there, but He's also ministering to Gentiles. In regard to the widow of Zarephath, who is from Zidon, we find that she is mentioned in the New Testament. Did you know that? Look over in Luke chapter 4 very quickly. She's mentioned in Luke chapter 4 in a testimony of Jesus concerning the hardness of heart of the children of Israel. Look down at verse 24, and he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save, now get this, unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. This mother comes back up in history, and Jesus uses her as an example that whenever Elijah was sent forth, the Israelite women would have nothing to do with him. The testimony was Israel was rejecting the truth of his message. But God was able to reach out to a widow in Sidon, and a Syrophoenician woman, and her need be met. Her son's need be met. The same son would die later, and Elijah would come and would raise that child up. But we have the picture here of her being used as an illustration of the hardness of the heart of Israel and how that Elijah was able to help a Gentile mother. Now Jesus is in the same situation where he's gone to this house, he's trying to take a nap. All right? Have you ever tried to take a nap and somebody comes knocking on the door or ring the bell, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, you get up. All right? You just have fallen asleep, and here's this mother. And she falls down before him, and she's weeping, crying out, and says, "Will you heal my daughter?" Here she is, a Gentile woman, a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. And she knows she's not a Jew, but she knows something else. And this is what I'm going to point out and emphasize today. What else does she know? She knows that Jesus is the only one that can help. Do you know that about your children? Do you know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can help in a spiritual situation? So what did she do? She didn't have her daughter with her. That wasn't possible to bring her. She was indwelt by a demon. The child was at home agonizing with this indwelling. We don't know the whole backstory. We know that this is a young child. The indication, someone that's in a preteen age group. And this child is indwelt by a demon, and this mother doesn't know what else to do, but she knows Jesus is nearby, and she wants to get to him. Let me just say something right here. And this is my first point. Our children need to know that we're there for them. Did this daughter know that her mom was there for her? Perhaps not, because she was indwelt by a demon. We don't know the physical and mental state of this child. When she gets home, she finds her daughter where? She's in bed. We don't know all the circumstances and reasons why, other than that the child was probably extremely tired from being indwelt by a demon. But this child would know that her mother cared very deeply for her. Do your children know, moms, that you care deeply about them, that you're willing to do whatever is needed to help them? Do children disappoint? Yes. But I'm going to go further. Do you disappoint your children? Oh, we're not supposed to ask that question. I'm asking it. I'm asking it because this is what comes to my mind. This mother left her daughter at home, hearing that Jesus is nearby. He's up here in Sidon. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to beg him to heal my daughter. This daughter would not be disappointed. Please note that Jehovah was there for Israel and Judah even when they were in the depths of lawlessness and sin. Mom, Dad, would you listen to me today? Grandparents, would you listen to me today? The example of our Lord is that He loved His people when they did not love Him. Did I hear an amen? What is wrong with us when we just write people off? Write people off. I'm not going to have anything to do with them because they're not doing what's right. Do you know that Israel rarely did what was right? Do you know that the nations of the earth have rarely done what is right? And yet God loves sinners? And that He sent His Son for sinners, not people that were loving Him and being nice to Him and following Him. And yet, we sit up in our little arrogance. And we say, I'm not having anything to do with them. I'm writing them off because they're not doing what I want them to do. Can you imagine if God did that to you? In your stubbornness and arrogance? I think we need to step back a little bit. In our Christian pride, sometimes we think in our righteousness that it's all right for us to just write people off and just forget about them. God never does that. And it will not be until the moment of the great white throne judgment that true justice will be meted out, and it won't be us meting it out. I'm thankful for that, because we're not very good judges. Isn't that right? We're not very good judges, but God is. I want to tell you something, folks. Children do disappoint, but sometimes we disappoint them because of our arrogance and our self-righteousness, thinking ourselves better than we ought to think. When what we need to be doing is like this Syrophoenician woman. What did she do? She went to Jesus. She couldn't carry her daughter with her, but she did carry her in her heart. Amen? And she carried her daughter with her all the way to where Jesus was and knocked on the door. She didn't let a closed door keep her from going. And by the way, she didn't let his response keep her from bringing her daughter that was in her heart to Jesus. We need to get back in Christianity to realizing that we're no better than the scum on the floor. What makes us better? Can anybody answer? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus makes us better. We are full of pride and arrogance. We do stupid things. We do arrogant things. But Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And if we could just but get our children and our grandchildren to Jesus, and sometimes that means taking them in our heart to the Lord Jesus, even when we can't physically bring them with us. Are you getting the picture here? She couldn't bring her, but she did bring her in her heart. Now I want you to notice how this thing unfolds here. Notice our Lord. Here in this passage in Mark, our Lord is in the room. She appears, knocking on the door. She comes inside, gives us some indication here of the urgency. She came and fell at His feet. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of a desperate mom. Is shunning, pushing away? Does that sound like a desperate mom to you? Pushing children away? Think about this. Here's this little girl. And I don't know all the circumstances, but I do know this. The Bible says she was indwelt by a devil. Is that a good thing? Can you imagine the nights of hearing your little girl shrieking and making all kinds of noises and sounds under the influence of Satan? And this going on and on and on, taking her to the doctors perhaps, taking her to the rabbi, or taking her to something. Most of the people in Syrophoenicia worship Baal. Who knows, but she didn't go to those sources. She came and she fell at the feet of Jesus. In your mind's eye, watch a mother who's allowed inside the room. The door is open. And Jesus is over there and she runs and she falls down on the ground. That's a sign of a desperate mother. You know what we need in America today? We need some desperate moms There may be some here that disagree. We're just so absorbed in the world, we're not, no big deal. But I'm going to tell you what we need. What we need are some moms that are running to the feet of Jesus and falling down before Him and taking their children that's in their heart before Him. If that mom had never left her house, if that mom had never knocked on the door when she found out where Jesus was, if that mom had never fell down at the feet of Jesus, that girl would have never been delivered from the devil. Don't ever forget this story. It took a mama that was concerned. Even though she couldn't physically bring her daughter, she brought her in her heart before the Lord. But the obstacles were not done yet. This is what is so unbelievable about this story. By the way, the liberals love this passage of Scripture. There is a famous agnostic. His name is Steve Wells. He has a list of all the racial intolerances in the Bible. This is 529 on his list, by the way. All right? And not only does he list this as racial intolerance, that Jesus was a bigot, goes down the list of all that kind of stuff. I can't even read some of the unbelievable things that he says about my Lord without just getting so angry. But there's another gentleman who is the director of the Princeton Religious Review. Right? He's in the Divinity School in Princeton. And he said, I would have no problem with Jesus saying these things to a Jew, but Jesus said it to a Gentile. Therefore, he was a racist. Now, this is the current director of the Princeton Religious Review talking about our Lord in terms. His little puny PhD mind saying that about the God who created him. Well, if he had said it about the Jews, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But he said it about Gentiles. Therefore, he's a racist. What is he doing in a religious school? Does that make any sense? Why did he bother to get a PhD in religious studies if he's going to deny the source of all things religious? The creator of this world? The creator of all humanity? The one who spoke the world into existence? What are you doing? Go do something else, sir. Stop messing up the minds of people going to school. This mother had immense determination. Even in spite of what seemed to be a difficult response from our Lord. Notice what the Lord said to her. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. That translation both in Matthew and here has to do with little dogs, mongrels. You know how a little dog kind of breaks your heart whenever they come up and they sit there and they're wagging their tail while you're eating your lunch? Okay? And they're looking up there with longing eyes. And so you flip over a piece of bacon if you're having breakfast, or a piece of a hamburger or something like that. And that dog just eats it up and then just sits there and wags their tail. That's the picture of this dog. It's not a full-grown dog. It's not a mature dog. It's not an old dog. It's not a mean dog. It's just a little mongrel dog that's there. Jesus says to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. But notice the inside of this mama. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs, the little dogs, the mongrels under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now there has been much criticism of Jesus Christ, but there should be none. The point that's being made here is that he had come to what nation? Jesus came to the house of Israel. In Luke chapter 4, he said, I came unto my own, and my own received me not. A prophet's without honor in his own country. He said, I understand that, but I've come to my people. But this mother said, yes, but the rest of us can enjoy the crumbs that fall off the table. That's all I'm asking for, just the crumbs. Now, when you ask for crumbs and you get your daughter back, is it worth it? Yes. Yes, it is. I want to close with this thought. This is a hardship case, is it not? Can Jesus handle hardship cases? I'm here to tell you this morning, He can handle any case. Don't make your God this small. Well, God can't do anything for them. They won't listen to me, they won't listen to God. That's the problem. You just identified the problem. You were worried about them listening to you and not getting them to Jesus. This mama went to Jesus, and when she came home, the daughter was delivered from the devil. She got her daughter back. Do you want your children back? It's going to take mamas that take their children and their grandchildren to Jesus. He alone can change hearts and lives. He alone can deal with the hardship cases of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you put it in two different places here in the Bible, in the Gospels, so that we might learn that we're not to respond in arrogance and pride to hardship cases. Oh, they're abundant. They're everywhere. There are hardship cases, perhaps even in this church, where stubbornness and pride prevent some from coming to the Lord, but Jesus Christ is so powerful that He can redeem the worst of sinners. But it requires for parents to do everything they can do to get their children in their hearts to Jesus. Even though we might not be able to physically take them, they may be far away from us, we can take them in our heart to Jesus and know the redemption that can come to their lives. Thank you, dear Lord, for including this story, this true story in your word, so that we might benefit this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask all of our moms to please come forward. I'd like for you to come and stand facing toward the audience. I know that maybe what you consider to be embarrassing, but it's not really. It's a recognition of those that deserve recognition. So moms, please come forward. I'm so thankful for the moms of Grace Bible Church. I'm thankful for the countless hours that they spend with our children. Amen, dads? Amen. Amen, children? Yeah. A little quieter there. I heard a deep voice. That was a deep voice child that said that. But I am so thankful for these ladies. They represent, if I were to have them put their hands out and just show you their hands, they're worn with time. They're worn because they've done dishes, they've changed diapers, they've fixed clothes that were torn, they've bandaged wounds. These hands are tired, but they're the hands of help. And I want everyone here this morning, in just a few moments, to express that thanksgiving for all the work that they've done to these ladies as you come through. Let's stand together and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these wonderful women. Women that pray for their children and their grandchildren. Women that spend countless hours, many times unthanked, but just hours of the day, hours in the night, caring for children, caring for their husbands. Lord, we know that moms hold a special place in your heart, dear Father. You're the ones that created them. And we're so thankful that you save mothers and that you've given them your word whereby they know what to teach their children. Lord, I pray that you defeat the devil. He wants to stop their work. He wants to prevent them from reaching their children with the gospel. He wants to prevent grandparents from reaching their grandchildren with the gospel. He'll do everything in his power. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd put a shield of protection about every one of them, that they might know the sweet presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and life. And Lord, I pray for children today who may be in a way of hardship. Maybe they've rejected Jesus Christ. Maybe they're going their own way. Help each mom here realize there is hope. We just have to get them to Jesus. May we pray faithfully, and may our children know that we're there for them. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you come and greet our mothers?